You're listening to the National Radio Club's DX audio service for January 1991. Excuse me, someone's at the door. I had to start out with this because Phil Wayne bet me that I'd play Celebration by Kool & the Gang, and I couldn't let him win this bet. Welcome to the 1991 edition of the National Radio Club's DX audio service, and in just 4 months... 4 months will be into our anniversary edition of the DX audio service. We started in April of 1985, and we've come a long way, haven't we? I'd like to pass along some address info. If you'd like to send something to us here, you can send it to the National Radio Club's DX audio service, 706 McKenzie, McKenzie, in Lima, Ohio, 45805-1835. Subscriptions, renewals, and anything else to do with the business matters, they go up to National Radio Club headquarters. The address is simply Post Office Box 24, Cambridge, Wisconsin, 53523-0024.
Hi, everybody. This is Jerry Starr with another edition of AM Switch from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News Magazine. We have three editions of AM Switch to bring you this month, and we'll start with reference number 242. Under call letter changes, we have but one. On 1240, WWWD, Schenectady, New York, becomes WVKZ. And in otherness, in 242, on 840, WPGS, Mims, Florida, this station's application, which we mentioned about a year ago, to relocate in Castleberry, Florida, that has been dismissed, so evidently this station is going to stay in Mims. On 980 WMAK, London, Kentucky, a silent station that has been sold. The new owner should have returned it to the air by the time this tape reaches you. 1120 WYNO, Nelsonville, Ohio, this station is silent. On 1160 WPVG in Funkstown, Maryland, which is just outside of Hagerstown. Although this station was to have been on the air several months ago, they got behind in their target date, but they now are on the air and operating a regular schedule on 1160. On 1330 KWLO, Waterloo, Iowa, this station reported to be silent, was only silent for about a week due to a fire at their transmitter site. They are now back on the air. On 1340 WPGE, Page, Arizona, this new station, or rather this silent station, has been sold to new owners and may be returning soon. On 1410 WRDC, Boyle, Mississippi, another silent station that has been sold and should be coming back on the air. And finally, 1530 WWGZ, Lapeer, Michigan, this station was silent for over 2 years, has now returned to the air, relaying Wings 103 FM. Moving on to edition number 243, call letter changes on 560 WYOR, Brentwood, Tennessee, becomes WYYW. On 790 WWAZ, Providence, Rhode Island, changes to WLKW, a call letter that had been in the Providence market for a long time on 990. Sort of an interesting bit of background on this call letter. The station on 990, which originally was WLKW, was the only 50-kilowatt radio station in the Providence market, and LKW stood for 50 kilowatts, L, of course, being the Roman numeral for the number 50. On 820, WXEZ, Chicago, Illinois, becomes the Point, WPNT. 860, KLZX, Salt Lake City, Utah, becomes KCNR. 1390, KJJY, Des Moines, Iowa, changes to KKSO. 1410, WBGM, Tallahassee, Florida, becomes WHBT. 1460, KWES, Colorado Springs, Colorado, another call coming back to the market, KKCS, returns. On 1550, WNTA, Augusta, Georgia, becomes WFXA. And on 1600, let's try it one more time, WINX, Rockville, Maryland, changes to WTKZ. They did that once before, then had that change set aside, and now the change is back. We'll see if it sticks this time. In otherness, in edition number 243 on 800, WDSC, Dillon, South Carolina, this station is silent. 830 WKTX, Cortland, Ohio, another one of my local stations, has gone silent. That's my second local station to go silent this year. 1160 WMLD, East Point, Georgia, this new station is now on the air. 1330 KENU in Umpqua, Washington, a silent station that has returned to the air. Also on 1400 WBYG, Bing Springs, Texas, this silent station is now back on the air. 1460 WUFI, Rantoul, Illinois. Last month, we reported this station to be silent. That silence only lasted a brief time. They are now back on the air. 1520 WDSL, Moxville, North Carolina, another silent station that has returned to the air. Also on 1520 last month, we reported WINW, Canton, Ohio, being off. They were off for only a short period of time and have now returned to their regular schedule. They're broadcasting once again. 1550 WOKJ, Jackson, Mississippi. This station has gone silent. And on 1560, WTRQ, Warsaw, North Carolina, has gone silent. And finally, we move to a very brief edition number 244. Not much happening the week this was put together. On 1580, the only call letter change, WEBG, in Eatonsburg, Pennsylvania, becomes WRDD. And items under otherness on 610, WPLO, Grayson, Georgia. This station is now here from their former frequency of 1360. Of course, on 1360, they were licensed to Lawrenceville, Georgia. On 640, WBMX, Zeeland, Michigan, after several months of being off the air and operating erratically, this station has returned to the air with a 24-hour operation. However, this morning, the day that we are putting this together, we have received notice that that station is now off the air. There is a possibility that the equipment at the station is being repossessed, so we'll have to get more information to you on that next month, and that has not been confirmed. So far, that's just a rumor, but it looks like WBMX troubles may not be over yet. On 1010, WCNH, Crestview, Florida, this station is silent. 1570, WOKG, Warren, Ohio, this station was silent for a short period of time while ownership changed, but is now back on the air. However, they are rebroadcasting WNRB 1540, Niles, Ohio. So if you're listening to 1570 and you hear WNRB, what you're hearing is WOKG. And by the way, their call letter change, which we mentioned last month so far, has not yet taken place. And finally on 1600 WAST, Ashtabula, Ohio, another station we discussed last month. They've been silent since the early 1980s and were recently issued a show cause order by the FCC. They were required to show cause why their license should not be terminated. In response to that, a new owner has surfaced, and by our count, this is the third change of ownership since this station has been silent, so at least two people have owned it, and it hasn't been on the air at all. The new owner claims he's going to return it to the air as soon as possible with a nostalgia format. Obviously, this is all in response to the show cause order. Now, when this station was operating, we were able to monitor it locally, and thus we'll be able to keep tabs on what's going on 1600. So as this intriguing story unfolds, if in fact it does unfold, we'll keep you posted right here on AM Switch. And that will do it for this month's edition. Jerry Starr reporting from the pages of the National Radio Club's DX News, and we'll see you in 1 month. And now I see stepping into Studio B, none other than the one, the only John Belker with another edition of Travelogue. So let's find out where we're going to go today. John, take it away.
Okay, Jerry. Jerry, and Happy New Year to you. Well, by the way, Jerry's son John was on WHOT the other night. No kidding, the AM side. WHOT carried a basketball game from Valparaiso, Indiana, live. And John, turns out, is the public address announcer for the Valpo Crusaders home games in their new spacious athletic center. So, and by the way, our subscribers might want to watch for any local teams in their area who would be playing the Valparaiso University team in basketball. On Crusader home turf, of course. John's high point this year so far, if I remember it right, was introducing the Czechoslovak team. When they visited Valparaiso, he introduced all the Czechoslovakian players by name. Either that, he said, or it was a recipe for borscht. He wasn't sure which, but it didn't matter. Well, anyway, on this edition of the Travelogue, we're going to hear from two different frequencies, 700 kilohertz and 710. And we have a little surprise for you here in the studio, and we'll get to that in just a couple of moments. And anyway, you know, in putting together the 700 kilohertz travelogue, I spared no expense in collecting the two stations you'll hear. In fact, there's a third station that I really ought to have. It's in Orange, Massachusetts. We don't have that on tape yet, but I'm going to be right near there in the spring, and probably in April, and I'll pick it up for the DX Audio Service collection at that time. So we'll be in good shape one way or another. 700 is a very selective frequency. It has the same rigid restrictions as far as what stations can broadcast on that channel, as does 640, 650, 660, and 670. Let's see, yeah, those that we've covered so far on this trip up the dial. Only one Class 1A station is permitted at 700,
Not too surprisingly, our large friend in Cincinnati satisfies that requirement with plenty of room to spare in that wonderfully magnificent tower. You know, I told son John that I only had WLW and one other station to use in the travelogue. And I said, I'm going to have a little trouble calling it a travelogue, going from the East Coast to the West Coast, as we so frequently do in this column. He suggested that I record a traffic report from WLW some evening and at least give our listeners a trip through Cincinnati. Oh, that's one of your better ideas, John. Now go back to sleep. Enough said. Let's see what we have going at 700, going, as we say, from east to west.
WLW, Cincinnati.
U.S. Naval Observatory Master Clock. At the tone, Eastern Daylight Time. 7 hours, 0 minutes, exactly.
Wow, you need new windshield wipers, don't you? These are the days you find out. And on sunny days when you should... Yeah, never mind. I know we always forget. 7 o'clock at the home of the Reds. 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
700 WLW News.
You're listening to 50,000 watt clear channel WLW, Cincinnati.
The following program is sponsored by the Lutheran Hour.
All right, we've heard from the east. Now let's go to the west.
Nobody else will do.
KTBT, Stereo 700, Tom Ball, Houston, and all up and down the great Texas Gulf Coast.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that rather quick trip across our lovely land. Let's move on now to the 710 kilohertz dial position and see what's up there. First of all, 710 is not such an exclusive channel as 700 or even 720, as we'll learn next month. Class 1 and Class 2 stations are permitted to operate at 710 on the dial. My count of actual on-air stations, by the way, at 700, totals 10. Right now, whereas on 710, there appear to be more than almost three times that number. I count 26 in the United States actually on the air right now at 710 on the dial. And there are some biggies on 710 too, out of New York, Miami, Los Angeles, Shreveport snuck in there too somehow. So let's hear how a few of those stations actually sound or have sounded over the years at 710 on the dial on the January 1991 DX Audio Service Travelogue.
Money Makes Money is sponsored by the First International Rarities Exchange.
W-O-Y.
Your first station for news, first in talk.
Radio 710 WOR, New York.
This is Casper Citron from the Riga Royal Hotel.
All talk, almost all talk, all the time on WOR. Now, back on December 12th, I had a visitor here in our studio of the DX Audio Service Travelogue. And I tape recorded about an hour and a half discussion that we had. I'm going to play you an excerpt from that right now. And don't worry, Fred, it doesn't last an hour and a half. Not quite, anyway. Well, I'm awfully pleased to have in the studio here with us today the assistant chief engineer at one time of WOR in New York. Is that right, Steve?
That's correct, from 1981 to 1985.
Steve Raleigh is his name. He lives in Lawrenceville, New Jersey at the present time, and I guess you're in broadcast consulting business now and then, here and there, is that right?
That's right. Primarily have another full-time way of making money, but certainly keep my hands in the broadcast business.
Okay, great. But what I want to talk about is WOR, because that's what we're talking about here on the travelogue of the DX Audio Service this month. I'm anxious to ask you the right questions about your experiences at WOR. Let's talk about their transmitting facilities, first of all. Where are they located?
Their transmitter is in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. Studios, of course, are in Manhattan. And Lyndhurst is not too far from an area that was formerly a sanitary landfill and has, in the past 10 years or so, been developed into quite a bit of commercial real estate. Most notable is the Meadowlands Sports Complex, is about a mile away, and a number of the AM radio stations in the New York market are located probably within 2 or 3 miles of the WOR site.
Do I see your towers when I drive to New York from, you know, on the Turnpike, for instance?
You see a forest of towers, three of which belong to WOR.
Where roughly is it? You know, what's a good cross street or exit or whatever on the New Jersey Turnpike?
Exit 16, 16E, I believe, is probably the closest exit. It's
that would be Route 3, I guess.
346, somewhere in there, yes. It's the one that you would take to get off on the to the Meadowlands Sports Complex.
Oh, yes, of course. Okay. So you have three towers there. Who were some of your neighbors?
Okay, right next to us, or next to WOR, is WLIB.
Mm-hmm. And
then next to them are the four towers of WINS.
And when you were there, the 1050 station.
Okay, that was WHN when I was there.
As you know, they've changed call letters.
Oh, yeah.
WEVD now. Okay, well, some of your experiences. Let's see. 50,000 watts. You have three towers, which suggests that you're a directional station. I have to presume you're directing your energy into the city and out perhaps over Long Island?
They're directional by choice. Obviously, they were there early enough in the game that they could have been non-directional had they chosen, but when you're on the East Coast, it doesn't make a lot of sense to send a lot of the energy off into the ocean. So consequently, it's more or less a north-south pattern. Not strictly north-south, but predominantly so.
Does that mean you can be heard well into New Jersey?
Oh, yes. Northern New Jersey, of course, is the strong suit.
Uh-huh.
Puts very strong signal into Manhattan, Queens, that area. Once you get a little bit east of the city, while it's still a very good signal, farther out on Long Island, there are some problems, simply because you have to get through the wall of metal, which is Manhattan.
Interesting way of putting it. I hadn't thought of that. Of course, this is a different transmitter site, isn't it, from the one that was there 35, 40 years ago?
Yes, the original site was in Carteret, New Jersey.
Oh, down near Staten Island, along that kill
there. Right, they moved to Lyndhurst, I would believe it was 1968, thereabouts.
How far south are you heard, then?
They put a pretty good signal into Philadelphia.
We're talking daytime now.
This would be daytime. And a listenable signal on occasion as far south as Washington, D.C.
Have you ever heard it in Washington?
I personally have not, but on the other hand, the person who had the job immediately before me did a remote from Washington and used off the air as his method of hearing cues from the studio.
Is that right? Boy, yeah, that's, I don't know, a little noise in there perhaps, but good.
But certainly as reliable as anything we were able to obtain from the phone company at that time.
Well, we won't get into that either. You never know. Well, now you must have had reception reports for WOR from all over New Jersey, New York, and where else?
Well, we got some very interesting reception reports. We would get, I would say, on the order of one every couple of three months. I mean, it was not a steady mailbag full. One of the areas where we would get a number of reception reports would be the Scandinavian countries. They also apparently have a very active DXing organization in that area.
I'm sure they do. Were you able to interpret all their cards and letters, or did they always write in English?
They would always write in English. So we did get one, however, from Brazil, which was written in Portuguese.
And you could read that, I suppose, you're going to tell me.
Only because it followed a very standard format. And in fact, the secretary at the time brought the reception report in and said, all right, try and read this.
Yeah.
Was able to at least bluff my way through the...
Steve Raleigh is our guest. And Steve, you've worked in Boston, you've worked in New York, WRKO, WOR, you were WTTM in Trenton, WHWH in Princeton, the list goes on and on. You were in school up in Ithaca, and I guess you probably didn't keep your hands off WVBR up there.
No, I worked there a number of times, but being a poor starving college student, was looking for some compensation, and college stations, of course, rely heavily on volunteer labor. So I was working at a couple of the commercial stations down in the Elmira area, WENY at 1230 and WELM at 1410.
What are some of the stations you've consulted with or actually been at?
One of the projects I was involved in a number of years back was with WHAM in Rochester, New York. They had been purchased by a new owner who had owned an FM in town and wanted to bring the station into the well, then it was the 1980s, mm-hmm. and did so quite successfully. Did a lot of extensive remodeling, renovation.
And what was your contribution?
I rewired the studios. Basically, I dare say we replaced every wire from the microphone to the transmitter.
Where is the WHAM transmitter in Rochester?
That's just outside of Rochester in a suburb called Shiloh. Looks like chili when you...
I see. Well, Steve, gee, this is terrific, and thanks so much for coming in. We ought to talk to you every time. Let's see, 920 was Trenton, and 1,000 on the dial up in the lower tier of New York State, and 1230 and 1350. Just about every frequency we come to, we could ask Steve Raleigh for some feedback on stations he's worked at. We'll have to talk again either at 920 or 1180 on the dial. I don't know which, Steve. But thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it's been my pleasure.
Well, that's the interview with Steve Raleigh tape that I told you I had excerpted. And we're going to continue this if I can find the tape in 6 months or a year from now when we get up to 1180. Steve told us in some detail about the WHAM transmitter site, and we'll share that with you. But we want to finish up the 710 travelogue for this evening. What do you say we move from New York somewhat west?
AM 71 WHB Kansas City. All oldies, all the time. Now, three back-to-back hits by the same artist on the mini concert weekend from your oldie station, AM 71 WHB.
The leader, WGBS Miami, plays South Florida's favorite music with Ron St. John.
WAQI, Miami, Fort Lauderdale. Radio Mambí La Grande.
Aquí, Radio Mambí La Grande. 710 en su dial. La emisora más potente del sur de la Florida. Transmitiendo con 50.000 watts, cubriendo el sur de la Florida, Cuba y el Caribe.
Saluting Creola, God's country. This is Radio 710, WKRG Mobile.
Good evening, Mobile. It's 10 o'clock and we go to CBS News.
CBS News, this is Mitchell Crowe.
Salmon Chinchilla, the queen of my best friend, 159 at Oogie Cooper at KEEL Shreveport, Louisiana. It's 2 o'clock.
KFBC Los Angeles.
Hi, this is Larry McKay inviting you to join me right after Bob Rowe and Angel Talk for unforgettable music like this on 710 KMPC.
One out, single by Gritch. The pitch now to the shortstop, Dick Schofield.
6:02, and you're tuned to AM 710 KFIA, Carmichael's Christian voice to all of Northern California. Stay tuned for the Money Masters. They're next.
KIRO Seattle, the news authority.
This is Cairo, News Radio 71. Cairo News Time, 12 o'clock.
Okay, we're in the great Northwest. What do you say we make a quick trip back across the United States, the northern route this time, and even into Canada?
This is the best country in the city. WDSM Superior Duluth. As I walk.
This is the NBC Radio Network. I'm Mike Anthony.
This is Channel 7 Cheer Radio, CHIR, Leamington.
Cheer Premier, Channel 7 Souvenir.
Well, well, that's Fred Vobey's favorite Canadian station. And Charlie Ray, too, up in Leamington, Ontario. Very good. They're the ones that change from 710 to 730. And when we get up to 730, we'll play you some of that frequency change stuff if you haven't heard it on the DX audio service before. By the way, as we were headed south down the eastern seaboard, you'll notice I skipped a station. It turns out about the time you receive this tape in the mail, I'm going to be in South Carolina, so I can do a little better by...
W-2-K-I. St. Matthews, Harrisburg.
Oh, I hate TV interference on the DX audio service travelogue, so I'm going to try to get them a little bit cleaner.
We were in a motorhome park, as a matter of fact, when we recorded that about 2 years ago. You know, just before parting this edition, and I am running a little over time, I want to acknowledge some people who got left off the list of contributors I gave you last month, and that'll never do. Ernie Wasilowski, he creates all those videotapes at the National Radio Club conventions. Ernie sent me 5 cassettes right after the Pittsburgh convention of his DX catches over the years. I'm going over them with a fine-tooth comb, one by one, picking out a few that make most noble additions to the DX Audio Service collection of tapes. So, Ernie, hey, that's terrific, and thanks so very much. And, yeah, I'll get your tapes back to you. Oh, boy, I better, hadn't I? And John W. Smith from our nation's heartland. You know, the day after we made the December Audio Service tape, a cassette with some real tasty station breaks arrived from John. So, thanks very much, good sir. Fred, let's see, Tim Hendel points out that a number of questions have been raised recently that deserve an answer on the audio service, I think. There was some doubt cast about the authenticity of the recording I played several months ago of the opening broadcast of KDKA, if you remember. The question is indeed very valid. It turns out at the Pittsburgh National Radio Club Convention over Labor Day weekend 1990, one of our speakers responded to this very same question. And what he said was, as best I can recall, the recording you hear of the opening KDKA program on November 2nd, 1920, was not authentic. In fact, it was made several days later, but by the same people who were on the air, recalling as closely as they could remember what had actually been said on the air. So I hope that clears up for the audio service subscribers. There was no intent to mislead, for heaven's sakes, of course not. Oh, by the way, the recording process they used had been well in hand for several years, having been developed in part by a company headed by Thomas Edison, and I have a number of their pressings of music. The recording I played of WEAF was recorded as an air check. I know that. I work with NBC engineers, and it was quite common practice to record much of what went over the air for legal purposes back in those good old days, 1929, I believe that was. We'll deal with some other questions that you've raised on the answer line as time permits, and we'll do that another month. So for now, this is John Bowker saying, well, I guess all that's left to say is, here's Bill Hale. Bill?
Well, thanks, John. I just love your tie. Well, it's been a busy month with Domestic DX Digest seeing some of the biggest columns of all time, which means there's that much more to report to you here on the DX Audio Service. Well, hot stuff right off the bat. Perry Craybill of Winchester, Virginia, reports hearing a news broadcast from CHOW 1470 Welland, Ontario, on December 5th. The report went something like this. This is Sims Broadcasting News. The president of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation has announced that $108 million will be slashed from the corporation's budget. 1,100 jobs will be axed. These are the largest budget cuts and layoffs in CBC's history. 3 CBC stations are being closed, 8 others are being downsized. In many provinces, local news broadcasts are being eliminated and will be replaced by 1 regional newscast for the province. The identity of the closed and downsized stations was not given in the report. Maybe we'll hear from one of our Canadian members who has more info on this. Thanks to Perry, you heard it here first. Well, WBMX 640 Zeeland, Michigan returned to the air with both urban contemporary and a nostalgia easy listening format, depending on whose report you read. Regardless of their format, they returned after lightning supposedly hit their transmitter in September. But late word into DDXDE is that they're off, probably for good, because their equipment has been repossessed and they've lost their studio building too. Phil Borsma of Spring Lake, Michigan contributed this obituary on WBMX. Well, WNZK, the only station in the U.S. licensed to operate on 2 frequencies, is now on the air, both on 680 and 690. From Dearborn Heights, Michigan, their bi-frequency operation went into effect on November 29th, and they operate 24 hours a day. From local sunrise to local sunset on 690, and from local sunset to local sunrise on 680. They also changed their city of license from Westland to Dearborn Heights. So far, when they change frequencies, they simply make the switch with no advance warning. They give a legal ID as WNZK Dearborn Heights Detroit, broadcasting on 690 days, 680 nights, to serve more, even better, with a new excitement in radio. Charles Ray of Leamington, Ontario notes no difference in signal strength when they switch from one frequency to the other. Chuck is one of many persons within the reach of the only 2 operations of this kind in North America, the other being his local CHYR and CHYR7. About 2 months ago, the question was raised about the correct call letters of the new 770 in Garland, Texas. Seems the new NRC log has them as KGGR. Now the station that formerly occupied 1040 in Dallas was granted the 77 facilities and moved there. They took the KPBC call with them, leaving 1040 to the new outfit, which took over their old facilities. KPBC on 770 uses 10,000 watts during the daytime, 1,000 watts at night, and utilizes two different directional patterns day and night. They use the slogan, Praise Power, and our religious outfit. Well, KGGR 1040 operates from local sunrise to local sunset with 1,000 watts, non-directional. They also are a gospel station. My thanks to B.B. McClurkin of Irving, Texas for setting the record straight. More news from the Dallas-Fort Worth area is the fact that 570, most recently KKWM, has been bought by the owners of KLIF, and Cliff's programming, as well as call letters, have moved left on the dial. So all of the talk programs carried on KLIF have a new home and a much better dial position. Their new phone number is 214-787-1570. I was also alerted to this by B.B. McClurkin. Well, 790 in South Miami is now WMRZ, logged by Charles Ray of November 29th at 1848 hours Eastern Time, with typical Music of Your Life selections and the slogan, More Great Songs and Wonderful Memories on WMRZ. All memories, all the time. If you'll remember, they used to be WNWS with a news talk format. Well, 820 in Chicago is now WPNT, simulcasting 100% with FM 100.3 and playing adult contemporary and contemporary hits. They ID as The Point, as Wendell Ford reported them initially on the telephone, and then we had print reports from Robert Kramer and Roger Windsor also checked in with that news. Another note from Roger Windsor says WUFI 1460 Rantoul, Illinois has returned to the air after a silence of a couple of weeks, and now having an all-news format carrying CNN headline news, audio, plus local news updates. They virtually turned in to a Champaign-Urbana station. Well, WOI 640 Ames, Iowa carries the BBC World Service on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday mornings. That may be the latest craze among the non-commercial stations. Not a bad way to fill in the time. Rich Furco of Willoughby, Ohio checked in with that tidbit. Another call letter controversy has been set in motion by Tim Hall of Chula Vista, California. The new NRC log shows KFCA as the call letters for the station on 1330 in Conway, Arkansas. Tim says they've been KTOD for some time now, so we'll put that question to Derry Starr and Buffalo K. Foonman, Jerry's right-hand man. A couple of other tidbits to close things out. Mike Hawk of Omaha, Nebraska reports 1550 in Madison, Wisconsin, using the calls WLII. Apparently, they've changed from WHIT. Carl Forth of Chicago says that WYZQ 1560 in Hazard, Kentucky has changed to WQXY, and now satellite programming. Paul Mount of North Jersey answers a question poised in an earlier print column concerning WQXR 1560 New York. Paul reports that they have resumed simulcasting WQXR FM 100% of their broadcast day. Well, back in issue 9, Sean Axelrod of Winnipeg, Manitoba reported logging an unidentified station on 1020 with evidence that it was from the western provinces of Canada. Well, the NRC log doesn't show anything on 1020 from out that way, but thanks to Charles Ray, we've got the scoop here at DX Central. The new station is CKVH High Prairie, Alberta. They have 1,000 watts days, 400 nights, and are omnidirectional. They are mostly parallel to CFOK 1370 in Westlock, Alberta, but they also have some local programming, so you can add this one to your log on 620, or excuse me, on 1020. Well, I don't know if anyone else noticed it or cares, but Paul Harvey's five-minute morning newscast didn't make it out to the affiliates on Friday, November 23rd. Seems a technician in New York, who is a usual weekend worker subbing for the Friday regular, thought it was Saturday and fed Paul's the rest of the story to the satellite instead of the newscast. After I called my local Paul Harvey affiliate and asked about this, it was confirmed by a call to ABC by the chief engineer who was waiting to tape the news when the rest of the story came down from the bird. Imagine, if you will, Paul Harvey reading the news in the Chicago ABC studio to himself. Wow, look at the time. Mickey's hands are straight up. It's either midnight or he's being mugged. In any case, it's time to say so long till next month. If you've got an interesting tip the other audio service members would be interested in hearing, send them to me, Bill Hale, at 734 Burleson, spelled B-U-R-L-E-S-O-N, San Marcos, Texas, and my zip code is 78666-4335. And now back to Fred Vobey loser of traced persons.
The Colorado CPC machine is on the roll, as you know, from the tests in December. We had a lot of tests, and one of the people who is primary in making the Colorado CPC machine move is Mr. Wayne Heinen. We have him on the live line. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing pretty good tonight, Fred.
How's the weather out in Colorado these days?
Well, the last time I looked, we have nothing degrees, and we have snow coming out of the sky, and winds about 20 miles an hour with a chill factor of minus 30.
Well, does that make for good DX at times or not?
Well, it hasn't been too bad the last couple of days when we've had this weather roll in. We've had some pretty good stuff coming in, especially out of the north.
Do we have anything scheduled for the month of January? That seems like a good DX season for DXers, mostly because everyone seems to get all those nice toys around Christmas.
Yeah, that's true. We all seem to get the little radio stuff to help us go. We've got only one to report, and Jeff and I were very disappointed. Our return for the month of January was very poor. The test is from KFEL 970 in Pueblo, Colorado. That's Pueblo. Their address is 4411 Goodnight Avenue. Spelled exactly the way I said it, Goodnight. Zip code 81005. The test will be on Monday morning, January 14th, between 0200 and 0230 Eastern Time. And the test will include Morse code IDs. The signer for the test is Mr. Mike Landry, L-A-N-D-R-Y. He's the operations manager. And it appears that he tested about 10 years ago when KFEL was 1 kilowatt, and they're now running 3,200 watts daytime power, and this will run on their daytime power. So with the code IDs, I think it's going to have a pretty good chance of going nationwide.
Before we get into the February edition, let me ask you a quick question about those code IDs. Do they really help break through the noise on the AM band?
Yes, as far as I'm concerned, and from my own DX experience, just recently WARU on 1600 ran code IDs, and my local KRXY stood by for us here locally. And I was able to log and get a verification from WARU on 1600. And last year, Dave Schmidt was running a similar kind of program on WKEN, and I'm the very proud holder of a verification from Delaware, which is rather not a common state here in the state of Colorado. Plus, there's many of them that I have verified strictly on the strength of a code ID. And another one recently was KLER in Orofino, Idaho. The only thing I heard was the code ID. And that's why Jeff and I really stress to the stations that the Morse code IDs are the way to go. And lately, we have had very good success in getting them to use them.
Well, let's ask you about some tests that are coming up in the month of February. Do you have anything on the log for February?
Yeah, we sure do. We think that we've probably peaked out. This is the end of it. After this, Jeff and I are probably through, because there's no way we're going to top the month of February. And just for a little bit of teaser, anybody need Alaska?
Really?
Yeah. Anybody need Alaska on a clear channel?
Let's see. That can only be 700.
KBYR.
No kidding.
Anchorage, Alaska.
Great.
It will be on February 4th, and they'll be on about 0400 to 0430, and they will be using Morse code IDs. And then we'll give you a 7-day break, and you can have another Alaskan on a clear channel.
Oh boy! Now I gotta think here.
Uh huh. Go ahead.
The only one I can think of is 720.
You got it.
No kid. You got a 700 and 720 in the February, huh?
Right. KOTZ 720, and I believe it's pronounced Kotzebue, Alaska. And they will come on immediately after their sign off at 0401. Go to 0500 for a 1-hour test. And they will also be using code IDs. And then we've got a Hawaiian.
No kidding.
So, and it's also a clear channel.
Now, do I have to figure this one out, or are you going to tell us?
Just take a guess, and I'll say right or wrong.
8:30.
7:20.
7:20 again.
KUAI.
No kidding.
They're in Ely, and they will be coming on at... it's going to be pretty late for the East Coast, but that's unfortunate because it's because of the fact that they are so far away. They'll be coming on at 0530 to 0600 Eastern Time. So we've got it as basically as late as we can get it for the time zone differential, which is 5 hours. It's right after their midnight sign-off, literally. And they'll be coming on, and they will also be using code IDs.
It would be fantastic out here in the East if we could get WGN and WLW off the air.
Well, one little kicker we've tried. We don't know if it's going to work. This is just pure conjecture. Jeff and I have written letters to the engineering staffs at both stations. And we've kind of documented the history of the DX tests and the old days. And we told them about these three. And we said, well, if there's any chance that you might want to do maintenance, this would be an ideal chance to do it. And many people would appreciate it if you weren't on the air at that period of time. So we've also dropped one to KROW in Reno and KWDN in Las Vegas, or KDWN, excuse me, in Las Vegas. And if any of them go off, I will be surprised. But then again, stranger things have happened because the CPC in the last couple of years since we've started working on the machine, the support of the membership of both the audio service and the and DX News have been incredible. We've had so many contributions that I was afraid somebody would accuse me of doing something wrong. I set up a spreadsheet on my computer to keep track of it to account for it because it is in the hundreds of dollars a year now that we are using. And it's definitely been a good joint effort, and I think the membership has been awarded by a good quantity of tests from what we hope are the stations you want to hear. And if you don't mind me getting on my soapbox a little bit, Fred, anybody out there who doesn't have any money who wants to take part in this, we'd like to know who you'd like to hear. And just point blank, we ask for you to target stations that are not no silent period to your knowledge. And a lot of times we get good log updaters by finding out a station has changed schedule since the logbook was published. But stations you'd like to hear, the frequencies you'd like to hear them, what time is good in your particular area. Because Jeff and I, being in Colorado, we don't know what your local conditions are in New York, Pennsylvania, Florida. We've got a guess. And I'll be frank with you, two-thirds of the tests that we schedule are things that we want to hear. Because we do get contributions, but members seem to be, you know, a little bit shy of the time to take the time to go through and find who they want to hear. And that would be probably the greatest service that any audio service member could do.
Well, Wayne, it's been a real treat talking with you tonight, especially since you gave us those tips on your February CPC tests. If those tests all come off, I'll tell you, you're going to find some happy DXers here east of the Mississippi.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that the conditions are right to the north. And the one thing that was interesting is we got an answer from KBYR, and the chief executive officer who wrote to us said that he realized that the conditions are always very strange in the Arctic. And he was hoping that the same thing would happen and the conditions would be just right so many of the people in the audio service and in the NRC would be able to, you know, hear KBYR. So there's some people out there that really want us to hear them. And those are the kind of people that are making this hobby what it is.
Well, I thank you very much, Wayne, for talking with us on this edition of the DX Audio Service and look forward to talking with you on our next edition about CPC tests. But I'd like to pass along to our membership that if you would like to write to the CPC machine and perhaps make some suggestions of stations which you would like to hear, here is the address where to write. Simply write to Jeff Tynan, T-Y-N-A-N, at 10359 Severance, that's S-E-V-E-R-A-N-C-E, Drive, in Parker, P-A-R-K-E-R, Colorado 80134. And please mention that you did hear this on the National Radio Club's DX audio service and put down a few suggestions. I know a few I could do. And in just a couple of minutes, we're going to turn it over to Mr. John Bowker for a look at historical moments in radio. We have Phil Wayne with a look at the Market Scope and, of course, your comments from the Musings from Members column. And don't forget that we start our sign-off edition and sign off every edition of the DX audio service with a different sign-off. And, of course, you can participate in that, too, by sending it to us here at the DX audio service, 706 McKenzie Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45805-1. See you on part two of the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service.